Humor is a very subjective thing, as I just found out with that last joke. A joke that one person thinks is absolutely the best will land completely flat with someone else. A comedian that goes to one city might have them rolling on the floor with laughter, but in the next city he might be met with silent theaters. I've always been amused at what is funny to some people, but just silly to others. And I have also been interested in how people's tastes in humor change as they get older. When I was a kid, I was convinced that there was nothing in this world that was funnier than the Garfield comic strips. The antics of that lazy lasagna loving, oh yeah, the antics of that lazy lasagna loving cat and his boring owner John could not be beat, in my opinion. Not only did I look forward to the Sunday funnies, but I actually collected the books. Oh yes, I was convinced that they were so funny that they were worth reading time and time again. And I would reread and reread those things until the books were literally falling apart. I truly don't know what it was about them, but they just made me laugh. Every once in a while I will come across one of those ratty old books in the house and glance through them again. And they are amusing. Funniest thing ever? Not so much, probably not. But amusing, sure. But I remember one comic strip that sticks in my mind and always will. It was published December 26, 1995, the day after Christmas. Garfield sits there looking absolutely exhausted. And in a simple monologue, he summarizes how many people feel about Christmas. He says, "It's not fair. You wait and wait and wait for Christmas to come, then suddenly it's gone." Sort of like a really good sneeze. Man, that used to crack me up. But I think that for many people it makes a lot of sense. We wait and wait and wait for Christmas to come, and then all of a sudden it is gone. In the secular world, there is shopping and baking and cooking, sometimes followed by traveling to relatives' houses or having relatives travel to your house. And then finally, the 25th of December comes along, and it's all over, except for some stragglers. Our families unwrap their gifts, the relatives leave, and we start preparing ourselves for the new year and the adjustment of remembering that when we say the date, we now need to add one to the year. And it's not much different in our church lives either. We spend the end of November and all of December focusing on the coming of Jesus Christ when we will sing our "O Little Town of Bethlehems" and our "Away in the Mangers." And then finally Christmas Eve comes and we hear the scriptures proclaimed, and Christmas Day comes and we celebrate God's arrival as a baby, but then it's over. And like Garfield's good sneeze, whether we are talking about the secular world or the church world, we are then moving on to whatever comes next. And we're all guilty of this. Quite frankly, I have read Christmas books enough times this year that I am just about ready to put those things away. And professionally speaking, my pastor friends and I are already looking forward to Lent, because after all, Lent happens early in 2016. But at the same time, Christmas is not a good sneeze. It lasts much longer than that. Everyone has, of course, heard the song, "The 12 Days of Christmas." I mentioned this last year, I believe. And apart from being incredibly annoying, it talks about how the Christmas season is much longer than just the 25th of December. Now, this Advent and Christmas season, I have been preaching against consumerism and materialism. So I'm not encouraging you to model your life after the 12 days and go out and buy your loved ones 5 golden rings. But at the same time, we miss something when we are so quick to be done with Christmas, especially if we jump straight into planning for Lent. You know, I sometimes wonder if people actually like Christmas all that much. After all the build-up, we are so quick to spend one day celebrating the birth of our Messiah and then move on to something else. Instead, we need to slow down and take in what Christmas is all about. Many a parent has observed that their children grow up so quickly. It's like in the blink of an eye, it's over. And time again, the advice that I get from parents with older children is that I need to enjoy every minute that I have with Miriam as she is growing up. Well, in a similar fashion, that is what we should do with the Christ child during Christmas. Over these next few weeks, we will be celebrating holidays and hearing the stories of Jesus as he grows up and comes into his ministry. And while it is a little bit out of order, this week we are hearing the story of when he is 12 years old. Now, next week is Epiphany, when the Magi visit him when he's a toddler. And the week after that is his baptism, when his public ministry begins. And the point of all of that is that we are still celebrating Christmas when God made man has only just entered into this world. And like the parent that blinks and their son or daughter is grown up, if we are not deliberate over these next few weeks, we will miss significant parts of Jesus' life and the lessons that we can learn from them. And these lessons are an important part of our Christmas season. In today's passage, Jesus and his family have made their yearly pilgrimage into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And I like what it says at the very beginning in verse 41. Every year, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus go down to Jerusalem for the Passover. Later on in the Gospels, we will see that Jesus keeps this tradition alive, going to the festivals almost constantly. But what I find so significant is the consistency of it. Jesus is born into a devout family. It is no wonder that a few days ago we read stories and sang songs about how and why God chose Mary and Joseph to raise the incarnate Lord. Worship is a constant in their home. And it is surely this emphasis on worship that starts the human child Jesus' curiosity about God. And when we emulate his desire to learn about God, our Christmas awe and worship goes beyond our attendance at church on Christmas Eve. Our worship is to be constant, like the worship that the Holy Family has. And it is that worship that causes them to go to Jerusalem on the most holy holidays. And not for the last time in the Gospel of Luke, while in Jerusalem, the boy Jesus has found his way into the temple. But unlike later on in life, when he has become the teacher, Jesus is in the temple to learn. And likewise, unlike his later interactions with the teachers in the temple, which were usually marked with conflict and disagreement, here Jesus is dutifully listening to his elders. And that's significant. Just like Jesus learned the importance of worship from his mother and father, he also learned about God from those around him. And as we study the young Jesus and his initial forays into theology, it is important for us to remember that, like Samuel in our Old Testament passage, who grew both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people, Jesus himself had to learn. This point is often missed because we have somehow misread this passage to make it so that Jesus is somehow the one teaching the elders. But Luke does not tell us that the elders were astonished because Jesus was telling them things that they did not know. Rather, his teachers were astonished at how well he understood their lessons to him. And one has to assume that his understanding comes in part from the emphasis on worship that his family has. But this interaction between Jesus and his religious teachers is an important reminder to us. If Jesus himself had to go through the process of learning and discerning before he was ready for his ministry, then how much more should we always be willing and ready to be taught by God? In a sentiment often attributed to Socrates, I am constantly reminded of the fact that the more that I learn, the more I realize that I do not know. And Christmas, the coming of the Christ, is a great reminder of that. Each year we see Jesus born to Mary. Each year we re-experience the start of his ministry. And that means that each year we have a wonderful opportunity to recognize the things that we do not know, to listen afresh to God's truth and allow him to teach us just as Jesus was taught on earth. One final note about our Luke passage. It's a subtle grammatical thing. At the beginning of the passage, the emphasis is on Jesus' parents. They are the ones that are identified as always going down to Jerusalem during Passover. And Jesus is the grammatical tag-along, if you will. But at the end of the passage, after Mary and Joseph have found him in his father's house learning, when Luke describes their journey back home to Nazareth, the roles are reversed. Now Jesus is the main subject. He is the one that goes to Nazareth, and his parents are now the tag-alongs. It is almost like something significant has happened in Jerusalem when he is worshiping and learning. While Jesus, by his very nature, was always God, he nevertheless now has an understanding that he did not have before. He has made one more step along the journey towards his earthly ministry. And he is the one that now leads his parents home. And that is the continuation of the Christmas truth. Jesus provides for us the pattern of focus. He himself spends his time in worship and learns about God. And that is our Christmas journey too. That is his command to us after the busyness of Advent and Christmas seasons are over. We are to slow down and spend time in worship, learning about him and his truth. But unlike Christmas Eve, when we with the shepherds found the baby Jesus in the manger, or even next week at Epiphany, when we with the Magi will follow the star to find the toddler Jesus in Bethlehem, now we follow the 12-year-old Jesus as he forges ahead, leading us on the journey toward a more complete understanding of God. And that is the Christmas message that we carry throughout these next days, weeks, months, and even years. Christmas is more than a sneeze that we wait for and wait for until it is finally come and gone. Our Christmas worship of that holy infant that grows into a man capable of saving us is a longer event. One that changes and shapes our lives into something entirely different. Far from an event that is over in one day, the arrival of Christ takes hold of our very lives, and nothing can ever be the same for us. So come, let us follow that Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.